Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's program for the 11th of April. I'm Anand Chandrasekhar. Are you afraid of the dark? Do confined spaces make you claustrophobic? Then you're probably not cut out to be a cave explorer.
You start to hyperventilate and you even grow bigger if you get more air into yourself and you think, oh, the mountain is crushing me. And
Swiss caving enthusiast Thomas R. Benz knows all about tight spots. He's been burrowing underground for almost 50 years.
You go into a cave once and either you're hooked or you just had it. Said, okay, I seen it and that's it for my lifetime. So it's not, I don't think there is something in between.
But he also understands why most people are afraid of entering caves. He admits they can be dark and scary places, but they also contain great beauty for those who persevere.
I mean, there are always areas like that, like dark places and grotty places, and you crawl and it's dark and it's wet and it's dirty and everything. But then suddenly it's not the whole cave is like this. And also not the whole cave is like a beauty. It's a mixture of both. And often the beautiful spaces, you have to earn it. You have to really get there first. You can't just walk in and after 30 meters, it's great and nice and beautiful. Usually it starts maybe just, you know, a passage where you even have to crawl first and then maybe you walk and then nothing special there, some rocks and it's dark and it's wet and suddenly it changes.
He's still hooked to the thrill of exploration, and caves remain one of the few places on Earth where no humans have set foot before.
You go there, you're the first to set foot on this new, empty, black, whatever it is. And it's such a good feeling, you know, just it's like explorers in the old days.
It is this longing to follow in the footsteps of the great explorers of yesteryear that led him to a remote part of India, more specifically to the state of Meghalaya in northeast India, which has a reputation for being the wettest place on earth. The name Meghalaya itself means the abode of the clouds.
I mean, it's one of the areas where we really find a lot of new caves. I think it's almost exceptional. If you go to Meghalaya for an expedition, 30, 40 new caves, 20 kilometers of cave passage in one expedition where nobody has been before. So it's so big. And that's exciting. So many people know about it, and we always get a lot of people who want to come along, and so that's where we have to fight them off, more or less.
To get to Meghalaya, you have to catch a flight from Delhi to Guwahati, the gateway to the northeast. It was on this flight that R. Benz began to feel that the expedition had really begun.
I was lucky to get a window seat on the left side, so you start in the morning, 8 o'clock, and then you fly along the Himalayas. It was clear morning, and you know, on your head height, you have all these big mountains. The captain even would tell you, oh, this is such and such, yes, Mount Everest, and so it's just, and then you really know you're somewhere far away, and that's it, I start.
The road to Meghalaya's capital, Shillong, isn't easy. Twisty mountain roads, reckless drivers, and a bumpy ride means it takes 8 hours to cover a mere 100 kilometers. At around 2,000 meters in altitude, Shillong is a bustling market town. The expedition team relies on local villagers to share information about caves in the area. One such cave in the Jayantia Hills ended up becoming his favorite.
My favorite cave in Meghalaya, which is Krem Labit Kse. Labit means is the Khasi word for bat. It's what we call a river cave, which means it's actually a river coming out of the hill into the Kopili. It starts already quite big. It's like a big porch, bigger than a railway tunnel. Then you walk along, and then sometimes you wade in the water until up to the knees, sometimes up to your belly, up to your chest, and you have to swim for a while. I think the longest swimming bit is about 300 meters in one piece with all your gear. So
it's not called Bat Cave for nothing. A huge colony of bats greets adventurous cavers.
There's bats in the roof. There's two bat roosts with over 10,000 bats, a really huge number of bats there, colonies we call them. So you go underneath them, and of course they think, oh, there is cavers, let's piss on them.
Once past the welcoming bat colony, the cave leads to a dry passage. This passage holds a glittering secret that it reveals to those who manage to get this far.
The walls are full of crystals, shiny black crystals, and we call that passage a black diamond passage. And it's something I have never seen before and never after. So I think for me it's unique in the world. Between these black ones you have also patches of white crystals, so it's really, really special. And then there is also out of the walls something that looks like flowers. We call them gypsum flowers. Gypsum is also a mineral that is in the limestone and comes out like, and it looks like a flower. And so this passage is so special and so nice, so we sometimes, when we are in the area, we just go there to have a look at it.
Aside from hidden treasures like black crystals and gypsum flowers, the cave also hosts some nasty surprises.
We have tarantulas in this cave, which is very, very rare in caves, because usually we have only big spiders, which are maybe as big as a hand. But they are very common, and they're all over in every cave. But the tarantulas, they are not so nice. They are quite dangerous. So,
but the biggest fear for cavers always remains the fear of the unknown.
Something was sort of hopping towards me in the water, and I told my friend who was there, oh, there is something in the water. And he said, oh, is it hopping up and down? I said, yes, yes, it is. Oh, it's a bat, don't worry. So I did not know that bats can swim, but because they don't usually do it. But sometimes they fall down from the roof into the water, and they start to, actually, they probably want to fly. They just move their wings, and so it's hopping up and down and on the water and just go across the water and climb up the walls again. So it looks quite strange, actually.
But a caving expedition can also reveal things unknown to science. Manuel Rudy, a biologist at the Geneva Natural History Museum, accompanied Arbenz on one of his expeditions after hearing that cavers routinely come across bats. Rudy managed to catch some of these bats at the mouth of the cave using nets. He soon realized that he had identified a new species.
But this is quite sensational to find a new species for science. I mean, it means that there is an animal there that nobody knew before. And you just find it and, after 1.5 years, I think it was, of comparing and researching and everything, they found that it was really a new species. And, which is actually a very nice thing, he named it Murina, which is the type of bat, and Giantiana for the Giantia people, you know, in respect of the Giantia people, which I think is quite a grand thing to do. So
Arbenz believes that such a collaboration with scientists can help change the image of caving as a self-indulgent pastime for Indiana Jones types.
I mean, it's always good to have scientists in the expedition who do something and do some research and publish it in scientific papers, because then you see, actually, it's not only a lot of people think, oh, that's just adventure, and just, you know, they just go into the case and what comes out is they are happy, but they don't produce anything useful, which is not true. I mean, this research, the biological research, may help to change the attitude of the people towards nature there. There's already an awareness program for bats going on in this area, which was started last year and this year.
Caving is still a dangerous hobby. Many things can go wrong underground, especially when you don't know what's around the next corner. I asked Arbenz if the expedition met with any accidents.
Luckily, we did not have any accidents that were really nasty. So it's like, you know, somebody trips and sprains his ankle, it's already an issue. Or one year, somebody cut his wrist on a very sharp rock. Also, that was somebody takes a fall and breaks a rib or something like that. Things like that can happen, but up until now, we were lucky and did not have accidents where you had like a major rescue afterwards. So, because this would be a nightmare in Meghalaya. So
what was the most frightening experience of his caving career?
I went in head first and without thinking much, and then couldn't go back anymore. Needed to be assisted. My friends had to sort of, you know, tell me, oh, stay quiet, because you start to hyperventilate and you even grow bigger if you get more air into yourself and you think, oh, the mountain is crushing me. And then sort of needed to calm down, and then they just pulled me out again. And that was really something that is a bit, that was scary. So I have my issues with tight spaces. We're very tight. I mean, tight means if you have to take off your helmet and you lay your head sideways and then you go through, then that's tight.
While he still feels he has many years of caving ahead of him, Arbenz would like the next generation to take the lead when it comes to exploring caves in Meghalaya.
I still feel fit, but I'm 61 now and I can't do it until, well, maybe I can, until I die, but who knows? You still have to, it has to go on, because, you know, in Meghalaya there's so many caves. This, for tens and tens of years, there's still work to do. So there's got to be a new generation to come, and we need the youngsters to come and take over, that's clear.
That's all we have time for. Go to swissinfo.ch for more on this story, and please check out our Indian Intersections page. I'm Anand Chandrasekhar. Thank you for listening. And thanks to studio technician Daniel Wheeler.